The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez. I am so happy to be here with you in your ears, or maybe you just have one AirPod in, right now at this moment that you're listening, whenever it is that you're listening. I'm super stoked, you know? Thanks so much. This is cool, right? You and I, we got a little thing going on right here. Okay, I am going to make this intro short because this episode, it's not like super long. It's longish, but it is so... Ooh, it's so good. It's so jam-packed. I mean, this is like everything you need to know. If you are looking into a band, any live music, this has been a long time coming. We've been wanting to do an episode about this for a long time, but finding the right professionals and actually nailing them down to do an episode, you know, artists are artists, okay? Musicians are musicians. It was so good to talk to Dino and Carl for this episode. Dino's a super cool guy. You know, you'll hear it in his voice. You're just like, ah, oh, he's cool. You know, he's always got some good music going on. He's probably got the best jokes ever. Emerald City is an amazing band. They are in Texas. In fact, you know, Christy, you'll remember Christy, I think has worked with them quite a few times throughout her wedding planning career when she was in Texas. Everybody's heard of them in Texas. And they travel all over the world. And here's the thing. Listen very closely to the way these guys talk about what they do. Because when you are interviewing a band, this is what you want to hear. You want to hear this passion. You want to hear this experience. You want to hear this drive and this authentic talent and the love for what they do. When you find someone who sounds like these guys, when they're talking about their craft and what they do, hire them. Hire them. Hire them. Okay? And Emerald City is, it's perfect because Dino is the creative and he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get a party going. He knows how to read an audience. He knows how to keep a band together and structured and happy. And like, they all love hanging out together. They all love gigging together. And then Carl, who's also a musician and has a passion for music and what he does as well, he's the director of operations. So he is part of Emerald City. You know, he's not an agent out there representing 300 bands and, you know, taking whatever bookings he can get so he can make his 20% or 10% or whatever it is. Carl is the director of operations. And so he's the business guy. You know, he's the one that you're going to talk to and you're going to ask all those questions and work with on the contract and the business side of things. Bottom line, this is a legit band. Actually, Dino has several bands, but they all have this same vibe and they play different genres of music. Now, you'll hear me talk about this on the episode, and I've talked about it in the past. There are fake bands out there. There are. If you have started doing any sort of research on your web browser or on your phone browser, you might see these bands popping up on your Instagram feed or Facebook. where it's like, it's the same name of the same band over and over. They've got really good marketing. They've got usually pretty good logo. And you're like, oh, this looks like a great band. But beware of fake bands, everyone. Beware of these fake bands where whenever they're booked under the same name of band, but they're always different band members. They don't necessarily know each other. They don't have the vibe and the relationship and the history that someone like Emerald City does. So I'm not here trying to push that you hire Emerald City, because that's not ever our intention with any of the episodes we do on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, but rather my goal was to find someone who is so frigging good at what they do and an expert and can give you the inside information that you need so that you've got your armor on and you're ready to go, you know, looking for your band and you know what to ask. And this episode gives you all of that. So listen in, enjoy this. At the very end, Dino's going to give you his email address, because he literally is like, I just want people to like email me if they have questions. I'm happy to help. And that to me is like huge, because that is the goal with the podcast. Like, you have wedding planning questions, email him, send us a voicemail. Let us try to help you the best that we can. And, once again, that's it. Just listen to this episode. You might want to take notes. You might want to listen to it a few times. Enjoy. And thank you again to Dino and Carl of Emerald City for sharing such valuable information with us on this episode. Here we go.
My name is Dino, and I'm with Emerald City Entertainment, and I'm from Detroit originally. And love playing weddings, grew up doing it, and I am excited to be on this podcast with you tonight.
My name is Carl Poposky, and I'm also with EC Bands and Emerald City Presents. I'm a lifelong musician, originally from Michigan, but I've traveled the world on cruise ships and wherever the gig takes me. And I'm really excited to be here on the podcast. It's going to be really fun talking to you today.
Well, thank you both so much. We literally spoke pre-pandemic the last time. And I think I just said to you, Carl, like, I'm not sure what happened, why it's been so long. And I'm like, oh, the pandemic. That's what happened. It's right. Still happening. It was, you know, there's no really rhyme or reason to anything right now. But here we are. And I'm really happy to have you both on. And this is an episode that I feel like is just going to be so, so educational for listeners, because I know a lot of you listening want a band for your wedding. I think probably, I mean, of my clients, I'd say half and half, you know, half are like, Michelle, I want a band. I love my live music. Like, without a doubt, I want a band. And then the other half are like, no, I'll go DJ. I'm totally into the DJ route. So for me, one of the biggest challenges, guys, with my clients is when they want a band, because music is so personal. And, you know, oftentimes, for example, I had a groom once, and he, you know, all he cared about was the music. It was so frigging important to him. And he was so specific. He's like, I want this genre, but I want a female lead singer. It's really important that it's a female lead singer. And I want it to be at least, I don't know, six pieces. And, you know, and I was like, okay, you know, and it was just like, it kind of threw me. I'm like, why does it have to be a female lead singer? But I am not exaggerating. We looked at close to 30 bands. It was pure insanity. I wanted to quit. Like, I wanted to quit. And guess what happened?
You went with the DJ.
You went with the DJ.
Right. Of course.
I it kind of sounded like that's where you were going to head, but that's where you'd end up.
I was like, oh, I'm going to friggin'. I need a week's vacation on the beach right now, but Yeah. So let's start with, you know, Dino, you perform in the band. Are you the lead? Is that right?
Yeah. So I started this company in 1983. So I'm taking you back now.
Taking us back.
And of course, going back even further than that, in Detroit, when I grew up playing, 15, 16, 17 years old, it's so funny because in Detroit, there's weddings every weekend. And they have bands, and they're your typical wedding band. And it's not very big. Those bands are, back then, they were even accordion, bass, drums, keyboard, singers, right? Not very big. So the funny thing was, when I moved to Texas, we're in Dallas area, and I started my band in 1983, Dallas was primarily a DJ wedding. That's what they would use, DJs for weddings. Very seldom, and I thought that was really strange, that very seldom they'd have a band in Dallas. Now, things have changed here so that almost every wedding in Dallas now has a band. But when I first started, it wasn't that way. Now, I would think perhaps that each community, each city, even states might be more, you may find that some states, some cities focus, there's more bands playing weddings. And then in some, there might be more DJs, because I found that just going from Detroit to Dallas, that there was a big difference. So that could be the case. But I started the band in 1983, growing up with Motown music and all those great bands in Detroit. You know, I always have been into the horns and the singers, and it's a derivative of Motown happened to what happened with Michael Jackson and Prince, and now what Bruno Mars does. And Bruno Mars is really a derivative of Motown, if you watch what he does. The dancing, the matching outfits, the horns. I mean, it's sort of like what the Temptations were, but in, you know, in our day now. So so we started by playing clubs primarily, and then we started playing a wedding here and a wedding there and a wedding there, and then a corporate gig here. And then it just grew and it just grew. And that took us so that my calendar was completely full doing nothing but weddings. And in 2010, the community asked for more of the Emerald City product. And that's when we started our other bands that I produce and create and oversee. And Carl's part of that process. And so at this point now, we're doing 500 jobs a year.
But holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. Carl, why don't you add a little bit to the story?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm a journeyman musician my whole life and an educator. I played my first gig when I was 15, first paying gig. So I've been a professional musician, you could say, for just over 30 years now. And started in Michigan, similar roots to Dino. I'm not from Detroit originally, but I used to live there and taught there. And then went to grad school in Texas, back to Michigan to teach some more, and then moved to Indianapolis and eventually got on cruise ships for a couple of years. And then wound up getting off cruise ships. And that's an interesting life when you're on the ship, because you have, everything feels very impermanent, if that makes sense. You're not really living anywhere. You're just kind of moving from port to port. So I decided when I got off ships in 2014 that I wanted to set down roots and play trombone for a living. And I just was looking for the best spot to do that. And I was encouraged to move to Dallas. And I immediately got involved in one of the Emerald City bands, Party Machine. And then within 6 months after that, I was leading the band and have been leading it ever since. Recently, I've stepped off the bandstand because I've embraced more of an supervisory role with the company, overseeing the other four bands besides Emerald City, Limelight, Downtown Fever, Party Machine, of course, and Elevation. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different reasons that people go different directions with their entertainment, but you know, we found that, you know, if we can focus on the music and focus on what Dino really brings to it creatively in terms of bands in the truest sense of the word, and a show that is choreographed with real musical chemistry, we're able to connect with the audience. And we find that people, you know, call us oftentimes to, they haven't even set their date for the wedding. They're looking to see when Emerald City Band is available. That's first thing on their list. So yeah, it's really molded into quite a grown with the industry and molded into quite a situation here in Dallas. And yeah, like Dino said, in 2019, that was one of our busiest years. We performed just over 540 shows collectively as a company and, you know, made it through the pandemic. And the second half to second two-thirds of this past year were quite good and trending back up to full status. So, yeah, it really all comes from what Dino started in 83. He started a band.
Yeah.
And that is what the essence of what we do. And so the other bands truly are modeled after Emerald City, created by Dino and produced by him. And he oversees, as the creative director of the company, really everything that happens soup to nuts with the bands in terms of performance. And we, you know, we take our direction from him and in that regard to putting on the shows that we do.
Okay. So I'm just on your website right now, which is like, makes me want to party. ecbands.com. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, you have 5 different bands.
Right.
And are they all like, do they have different genres of music then?
Well, here's the thing. When this whole thing came about organically, in a sense that people loved what I did, Emerald City Band. This is the original band. And when our calendar was always full, people go, I want to book a band, but I want one like yours. So we don't deviate too far. We don't have like one band that's nothing but country and one band that's nothing but 80s and one band. No, we consider ourselves kind of an all around product, in the sense that I think that's really important, because when we, in a moment, we'll talk about DJs and bands. Mm-hmm. And the one thing, some of the highlights that a DJ can give a bride and groom is the fact that they can bring a big diversity of music. So a band's going to have to bring it in a lot of different ways. Everything from old school to new school, and be able to focus, because that's about winning the audience. The other thing that we focus on that I think is really important is connecting the dots. If a live band is not going to connect the dots to the crowd, to the audience, interact, get them all involved, then you might as well go with the DJ, save the money. You know, because I think that the band's job, we take this very seriously, is to make sure that we connect so that we're the ones controlling the dance, making everybody's up partying, a 70-year-old and a 17-year-old. We got to do that. And there's technique and there's ways to do that that we have found through the music that we play. So I think it's not just a matter of having musicians and playing songs, because if they just play songs and they don't interact and they don't talk and they don't create a show and some energy, then it becomes kind of like a DJ, you know, yeah, where the DJ just plays songs. Now, there are some great DJs who interact with the crowd and MC, but we have found that with our bands, it's really important that that we're versatile in the songs that we play. We can play everything from Sinatra to what you hear on the radio today.
Okay.
Because you have to have variety. You have to be able to do that. Because like you said, you might have a bride and groom that go, I really love 70s. You might have someone next to, I want nothing but stuff from 2000 when I was graduating from high school. So you have to be able to have a big playlist. Now, we're not Spotify. We're not going to do 2000 songs. But mm-hmm. we've picked the best of the best.
Yeah.
Our songs that we have found that will keep the dance floor packed. If I see people walking away from the dance floor, then I'm missing it. And we have to change and we have to redirect. Because that's the big telltale sign that, you know, that whatever's going on, whatever you're playing, you've lost a little bit of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, the way we measure our success in a lot of ways is the dance floor.
Well, yeah, that's huge. I think that's one of the, I guess, benefits to a band, especially with the lead or the person who's leading the band, to be really interactive with the audience in the right way at the right times and read right. them and be able to kind of like just kind of move into a different song if needed. Right. And right. that your band members, that they all know each other so well and that they, you know, they rehearse together all the time. Like, I want to talk about that too, which we will get into.
I was just going to echo what Dino says. Like I said, we follow his lead creatively, but if you were to describe the bands in a few words, it's music, motion, interactivity, connection. And, you know, the band is a performance. And in the most important piece of it, I think, is musical chemistry. Mm-hmm. You have a team of musicians that work together somewhere around 100 times each year. And what we do is build that chemistry. It's like a great sports team that gels and feeds off each other. Like Dino says, if we feel like as band leaders that the dance floor is maybe not responding to the particular song that's been being played, if that happens, the band can change direction musically on a dime. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they don't have to stop the song, turn around and decide what song they're going to sing, and then turn back around and play with the song that they've chosen. We can move in and out of songs smoothly, you know, and seamlessly. And that really creates a wonderful flow to the event. And again, like Dino says, we judge ourselves by getting people on the dance floor and keeping them there.
Yeah. So I really want people, I want you to just tell the couples listening right now, let's say they're just now starting to dive into the world of hiring a band. What do they need to know? Like, just friggin' educate the shit out of these people right now. Like, because just assume, I know you know everything there is to know, but they know nothing. So what do they need to know? What do they need to ask? What's like some like red flags of some websites? Like, tell us, just friggin' educate.
Carl, why don't you start? Carl, you start and I'll add after you're finished.
Sure. I can definitely speak to this as a salesperson for our company.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for over a year now, and I have sales experience in the past. But essentially, my biggest piece of advice to a wedding couple is to reach out directly to the band. If you can get directly to the band, the sales team, the band leader, whoever happens to be handling that for the ensemble, then that makes the experience that much better. There's no one in between you and the band trying to facilitate anything.
Which is sometimes hard to do, Carl, because a lot of time there's like management companies, right, that represent bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of different ways to do it, right? And would never say that anybody's wrong the way they do it. The way that we do it at Emerald City, again, based on Dino's model, Dino's a very personal guy. He has a lot of relationships with a lot of people, and people can pick up the phone and call him. As the company has expanded, we've had to deal with more inquiries. So we need more people to help with that. So when you're talking about a management company, that's what we are. And what our definition of that is, we own everything it is that we sell. So all five of our bands are owned by Dino. They're in-house. We represent them. That's, if you're talking to me or you're talking to one of our other salespeople, you're talking directly to the band. Some bands work with agents and agencies, and that's a little bit of a different experience where an agent is maybe represents many different bands.
Yeah.
And that's just a different way to book your business. So one of the most important things for wedding couples to consider if they want to get the best deal or they really want to talk with the band, and I mean that literally, talk with the band. See if you can talk to the band leader. And that's always what happens with our company, is that you're talking to us. And we use our 38 plus years of experience to help guide you through the process of what it means, soup to nuts, start to finish, with your reception, and how the band will help fit into that and customize to your needs, while at the same time giving you some options based upon our experience that we draw upon.
You know, I want to make a dissect that for just a second, because a person who, let's say a groom, and he knows your band, or, you know, a band really well, and he gets the agent and he's listening to the podcast right now. He's like, okay, I gotta really try to talk to somebody in the band or the leader, but I'm a little bit like, I feel weird right now asking this. Am I overstepping? Well, you know, what is my reason? What do I tell them? Is the agent going to be like, we don't really let you talk to the talent. I mean, is there something that you would say, or Dino, that you would hear and be like, absolutely, I would talk to him, you know?
Well, you remember the dynamics are different. Like Carl was saying, the dynamics, when a person, a bride or a groom or a couple goes to an agency. You have to remember the agency is the middleman. They happen to have a website and they may have 100 bands on there. A bride and a groom, a couple's not going to be able to have that kind of intimate conversation with the band because A, the manager, the agency is protecting its interest in a sense that they're there to rep the band. And if you take them out of the loop, they're going to lose 20%. So now there's, you know, this is a luxury sometimes. Some people say, I don't want to mess with it. I'm going to go to an agent and he's going to send me 10 bands promo video and I'm going to pick and you'll pay for that service. Very often you won't get an opportunity to talk to any of those bands until you get really, really close, perhaps to the night. Sometimes you won't even get to talk to them. You'll only be able to talk to the agent. The agent will then talk to the band. So it's just a different way of doing things and it costs a little more money. I suggest in today's world with social media is in Facebook and Instagram, you a couple can get a hold of a band really easy. It can be done. If you really want to get to the source and you really want to dig in deep a little bit and go, hey, what do you guys do? Of course, go Instagram, Facebook, websites. You can do some exploring there, right? Mm-hmm. You get to know, oh, I like the way this band looks. I like the energy. I like the way they look. I like the songs they play. So you've done step one. Step two would be to reach out, direct message, whatever. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about, I have a wedding coming up. That's how we get probably 20 to 30 inquiries a day, and they come through different means. The phone is the least. The where we get most of our leads from is off the website, the contact sheet, the Instagram, the Facebook. So in today's world with that ability to connect, a bride and groom can go right to the source if they choose to. And I think there's advantages to that that Carl's touched on a little bit.
Well, and I guess the agent is like there for a reason, right? Like a person who plays in a band might not necessarily be the best business person or maybe well spoken. And they're like, dude, I am an amazing musician, but I am not going to be able to speak to you very well.
That's a really good point. And that's when an agency makes sense for the band. It does. That's a good point.
Sure. And that's when an agency makes sense oftentimes for the couple too. Sometimes they just, like Dino said, you know, I'd prefer a full service experience. I want this person to provide this for me. The only other thing I would add to what Dino said is that, you know, I just spoke with a woman today on the phone who was trying to arrange entertainment and we were discussing things and it turned into about a 45-minute conversation. We were talking about how the couple met and what the engagement was like and how what the proposal was like, pardon me, and how long the engagement's been going on and they met at college and what kind of music do you like? What's your vision for the event? So all of that stuff comes over the really personal connection that you definitely get when, I mean, dealing with us, but I would imagine if you're dealing direct with any band, it'd be a little more personal connection. The other thing I was going to say is that, it's important that the other big piece of advice I'd give to any wedding couple is go see the band live. Yeah. Go see what the band sounds like. Videos are great and social media is great and websites have the ability to direct a lot of people to a lot of places. And all of that's terrific. The proof is in the pudding. So go see the band, meet the people in the band. How does it feel when you meet them? Do you feel like you're making a connection? And with us, that's what we're trying to do. We want to be, you know, everybody we've played for, we consider that we are their band, if that makes sense. You know, like after the event, like we still want you to come to public shows. We're your band.
We're part of the family.
We want to be involved. We consider you part of the family. So go see the band.
That's good advice.
See what it's like. And Dino can really speak to that because people have been coming to see him since 1983.
And I think a lot of people might not even realize that they could just ask that as well. Like, when are they playing next? And where? Where can I go see them?
That's how it used to be done.
Yeah.
Before social media, before websites, people would just come in and stick their head in the ballroom and watch. And I'll tell you why, because so many folks, as you know, can... It's easy to make audio sound really good nowadays, right? It's easy to make videos look good and put models in it and good looking people. And then you end up getting a product and you go, who's that? and that's not what I bought. And boy, they don't sound very good. To piggyback on what Carl was talking about, you know, poking your head and going seeing the band, find out if it's real. And when I talk about real, is that when I grew up, you know, we grew up with bands that existed, and we could go to a concert and we know we'd get a certain amount of the people that we're used to seeing and all that. But more importantly, is that the benefit of a continuity of the same musicians working together is that they know the beginnings of songs. They know the ends of the songs. They know every song. They don't have to read sheet music. They don't have to have their phone in front of them with lyrics on it, and so on and so forth. And what's happened here in the world we live in today, that you can make a video look great. You can make audio sound perfect with auto-tune. And so you think, wow, this band sounds great. In reality, they have sold 15 of those bands. And so you think you're getting this one band, but what you're really getting is a name with about 14 or 10 or however many bands they can put together, and they populate the bands with strangers. They're yeah. musicians, but no one's ever worked together before, or a few times here and a few times there. And they literally get to the reception site 2 hours early to go over their music to figure out, hey, do you know Uptown Funk? Well, do you know September? No, you don't know September. How about 24K? Yeah, you know that one? And so they're literally putting their band together 2 hours before the doors open. To me, that is a huge liability.
Yeah.
We are such perfectionists that in a wedding is a one-time shot. You get one shot at it.
Mm.
You get one shot at a reception, from everything from announcing the bride and groom to the exit strategy of how they're going to leave to go on their honeymoon and how you're going to get the people with the sparklers. So there's so many moving parts that I would have a heart attack if I populated my band with the nearest guitar player, the nearest drummer. But they do that because there's a way of making a lot of money. We don't really believe in that. We got to put more bands together. In our world, we have enough bands to make sure we do every job perfect. So that's why we, you know.
It really floors me because these, and I am sure anybody listening right now who started researching bands, you're going to start seeing the same name bands kind of popping up on your feed, and you're going to notice the price point is kind of low, and right. their website looks real fancy and it's very well branded, but yes. beware, really beware, because that's such a good point, Dino. Like with the wedding, you only get one time to do it right. I mean, hopefully you're not going to be getting married again anytime soon, unless it's your 25 year anniversary and you invite the same band back. But it's so personal. And just going back to the dynamics of you and your band members and how many gigs you've played together and traveled together and drank together and friggin' jammed together. Like when right. you have that relationship and you play that way, it's pretty magical.
Exactly. You could feel it. The audience feel it. I think you hit on something that's really important. You know, for a couple that's just searching for entertainment for the first time, you know, they're going to go, I think you brought up a really good point, price point, the mm-hmm. price point of the band. If some band is just like, oh my God, 10 P's for $4,000 or $5,000, that's a great deal. Well, they're probably populating that same name, that same band, 10 different times with
in the same night.
Yeah, on the same night. So there's a reason why I think price points is a good indicator, perhaps, to look a little deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Let I me mean, say- you know, a good band is not the cheapest route to go, people. I mean, you should know this listening. Like if a band is what you want, don't expect that you're going to get a bargain price here. I mean, a good band is, you know, it's expensive, but it's worth it. And if what you want is a band, that's the experience you want to have.
I guess if I were just to interject something here
yeah.
to all the couples who are listening, you know, think about what kind of party you want first. Like, what kind of party do you want? Don't worry about band, DJ, size, price, any of that stuff. Think about the kind of party you want. And what I told someone else on the phone today, this, I said, look, I just want to help you with your decision. I've been here in Dallas since 2014. I've been working as a musician for 30 years. I'm here to help you. If you have any questions about, you know, vendors, venues, planners, florists, caterers, load in, load out, what's a normal time? What does this all mean? Let me help you with that. And in terms of entertainment, I want to provide you with the best possible entertainment choice possible. I feel like we have that at our company, but it's not for everybody. So think about what kind of party you want. And for me, what I would say is, for me, if I was getting married and I would be like, I want something personal, something interactive. I want to have a lot of fun. I want it to be high energy. And I want everybody to be discussing this and talking about it forever. It's going to be the highlight of what we do here. Music is obviously very important to me. But and then from there, go see how it goes. You know, go check out a band and talk to them and see how it feels. See how the personal connection is made and does it feel right to you? And, you know, that'll tell you more than anything, I think, getting out there in person and really meeting with and hearing the bands play.
Friends, I'm here to tell you right now about an amazing company called Flower Moxie. Flower Moxie, are you listening? I'm really serious here. Can you hear how serious my voice is? Flower Moxie is a DIY flower company that ships all over the US. Now, I have had clients use Flower Moxie back when we were doing all virtual weddings, right? So we had this whole package and Flower Moxie would send the bouquets, the boutonnieres, centerpieces, all of it. And you get them a few days before your wedding. You've got video tutorials to watch. They send you the exact amounts that you need and the recipe, and it could not be easier. This is the perfect solution for your florals when you don't have that huge floral budget. And if you want to get together with your besties and put together your bouquets, do it, because Flower Moxie has you covered. Also, they were episode number 198. Okay, we had beautiful Amy on the show. She's a huge fan. We're a fan of hers. This is amazing. It's a win-win. Go to flowermoxie.com, okay? Check it out. The website is fantastic, by the way. Really well-branded. She's got really good style. And you're going to get $25 off your purchase if you use code BIGWEDDING, which is a really good savings because the costs are already really, really affordable. And they also created a DIY masterclass that is exclusively for their customers so that you've got everything you need to DIY your flowers, people. Flowermoxie.com. Use code BIGWEDDING for $25 off of your purchase. Oh, and if you spend $500 or more, you're going to get free shipping. So there you go. Thank you, Flower Moxie. Let's talk about the maybe not so sexy part, there's lots of parts of wedding planning that's not so sexy. And I mentioned that many times on the podcast. And it's, you know, there's contracts, there's project management, there's payments to be made and deposits and freaking credit card numbers and the whole nine. When we're working with bands, we've talked in the past about riders, right? Some bands have riders and they're like, what the hell is a rider? Well, that's kind of like, you know, what the requirements. Can you tell us what a band rider is?
Sure. A band rider would outline the production needs for the band, including sound, lights, backline, which would be instruments like drums, amps, guitars, basses, keyboards, possibly microphones, monitors. That's what a rider outlines, essentially what the band needs to perform. And that also includes the front of house PA and how they're going to set up the PA with the microphones and the monitors for the engineer to mix the performance. One of the things that's great about working with our company, I believe, is that all of our bands are self-contained. So there's really not much you have to think about. All of our bands come with the same Emerald City experience. Our package is all professional sound and lights. We have DJ style music on the breaks. We have an MC to help with the flow of the event. And really, when you're dealing directly with the band, they can really explain to you what it is you need without leaving anything out, even to the point where I'm talking to someone and they may be considering a standalone wedding venue, for example, as opposed to a hotel. And I might say, oh, that's a beautiful spot. I've played there many times. Make sure when you're talking to your venue coordinator, when you're setting up your rental period for the night, we need to leave time for the band to load out at the end of the night. So if your rental period ends at midnight, you know, we want to make sure that we're leaving enough space and time for all the vendors, band and caterers and everyone else, photography, to load out as well. So, yeah, I mean, you can kind of get into the tall grass and into the weeds on the rider. That usually comes into play on bigger events for Emerald City Travels quite a bit nationwide. And so when they play larger corporate events, that's when the rider comes into play. Typically for our bands, we, again, management company, we're doing it in-house. When you talk to us, this is, you know, we're going to show up and have everything the band needs to play. And you won't have to worry about any of that, essentially.
Can I add to this for a minute?
Please.
So, you know, we do galas, fundraisers, and corporate. We're going to focus today on weddings. I would tell all couples out there that any band they hire should come all-inclusive. The band should have sound. It's sound, it's lights, it's backline. Backline, by the way, is drum set, the guitar amp, the bass amp, the keyboard. Mm-hmm. The band has got to be all-inclusive of that. If you find a band up there and they want you to find them sound and you to find equipment, them lights, forget about that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely,
Dino.
Most bands, if a band's going to ask for anything on that night, it would be maybe a hot meal.
And that's usually like for riders for weddings, it's like each band member gets a hot meal.
Right.
We need a dressing room. Often they'll say we could have a drink or two from the bar. Yeah. And that's always like a little like, ooh, the band wants to drink. And, you know, some wedding planners specifically are like, no vendor should be drinking at all whatsoever. And I mostly think that except a band. I feel like having a beer or having one cocktail can help you play a little better and get more into the zone of the mood. Now, drunk, that's story.
That's
the danger
of allowing a band to drink, mm-hmm. is that there are some bands that don't get to play very often. And when they do, they go hog wild because they're out of the hour playing music. We haven't played in 4 weeks, going to the bar, and next thing you know, they're sloppy.
Yeah.
And so you know, we tend to shy away from that, about the drinking part of it. But again, like you touched on, a room, maybe a hot plate, a meal, water.
Oh, water's huge.
Power. You know, these are the things I know Carl talks about. We know all the venues, see the different ins and outs, the power of the location. Where's the loading dock? How long does it take to get in and get out? When will the doors open? If this is a Jewish wedding, perhaps they're going to use the same ballroom to get married in, and they're going to send people out to the cocktail, and they've got 20 minutes to clear that room and redo it. And so there's all sorts of intricacies. And that's the cool thing about going directly to the band and talking about the nuances. Like you said, all the dirty stuff, the things that all the, you know, the behind the scene work that goes on. These are the things. Yeah, there's contracts. The contract's the first part of the, you know, you negotiate the deal. The bridegroom, okay, this is what we're going to pay. Usually bands will want 50% up front. Bands that want 100%, I wouldn't do that. I would get 50% to hold the date, and after it plays or just before it plays, pay the balance. And, it's not real complicated. Now, if we were going to do a corporate show in St. Louis and I'm going to say to you, I need this sound system. I need this drum set. I need this guitar. I need to be picked up. That's different. But with the wedding, those bands should come inclusive, all inclusive.
Well, because a lot of times those are in huge arenas, venues with 500 to 1,000 more people. So it's a different gig.
Right. But if I could just add one thing, I would say that, again, that circles back to Dino's and the company's experience for 38 years.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a wedding venue in Dallas, chances are Emerald City or one of our bands has played there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the ins and outs, and that's an advantage to talking to us. But in terms of a rider, like, we don't really have one. Like Dino said, stage power, light, stage power and food for the band. That's it. And food for the band. We're not picky. You know, I told somebody today, like, if you're paying $80 a plate for your catering, please do not feed the band an $80 meal. Anything you feed your family, they'll be happy with and be grateful for. So that's perfectly fine. And in terms of different venues, Emerald City's played from the backyards to the ballroom, from the House of Blues to the White House. They've played all over the country at
and
all different
Oprah,
kinds of
venues.
And for
Oprah, haven't you played for Oprah?
Yeah.
Daniel has with Emerald City. And, again, the experience, none of those things are deal breakers, by the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, if you're talking to me on the phone and you tell me you're going to have 250 people at your wedding, then I'm going to recommend strongly a stage. We don't have a stage. We need to set up a flow for the event. We need to set that stage there. So I'm there to assist the wedding planners, the wedding coordinators, the venue coordinators. I'm here to help and be as easy to work with as possible.
Yeah. I think having a stage area is so important for a band, you know, even if it's not necessarily elevated, but a space that is stage-like, depending on the venue. And talking about backyards, you know, as a wedding planner, like, I like doing weddings in private homes. It's kind of like one of my specialties. Mm-hmm. And because I just love bringing, you know, like, it's just, mm-hmm. it's fucking cool. Especially if it's a big, big house or big backyard. Right. But what people don't realize is, like, you need sufficient power. I'm talking amps and, like, you know,
right.
for everything that has to be plugged in, because once you got a band with the lighting and the sound, and then you've got a mixer, if you have a DJ set up in there too, and then you've got the caterer, and then you've got, you know,
margarita machine,
right, you know, like, whatever it is, the photo booth, and you got everything, you got to make sure you have power. So I'm sure, Carl, in your contractor, you educate your clients on this, like, we need at least, you know, X amount of dedicated 20 amp circuits, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that's correct. The contract calls for a certain amount.
20 amp
20 amp circuits is what it is.
And dedicated
essentially, we're just spreading out the power, without to get too technical about it, so that we don't overload any one circuit.
Yeah.
Because nothing brings a party to a screeching halt faster than the lights going out.
Oh, yeah. We don't want that. Okay, cool. This is great info. What's the best way to get the party started? What's your kind of favorite thing to, like, set it off? Cause I know a lot of my clients are like, how do people just kind of, like, start dancing? Like, how does that even happen?
Well, you know, the good thing about a wedding, and I play all sorts of events. Typically people, when they come into the room where the band is, they're ready to party.
Mm.
Okay. It's not a tough crowd. You know what I'm saying? I have found that typically people come into a wedding, they're prime, they're ready to dance, they're ready to party. And if the band can't get those people dancing, then they got a problem, because it's not that difficult. Now, once, you know, when our salespeople talk, Brian, they say, when we come in, we want to go right into our first dance. Right after our first dance, my father's going to make a toast. After the toast, we want everybody to be seated for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you have that scenario, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So we would bring them in, you know, a little Coldplay. They walk, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. They come in, we go into their first dance. We introduce them. Her dad, father bride, will say something. And then I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, please be seated for dinner. And that, you know, okay, I got to do some dinner music, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get people indigestion too loud. We're, you know, don't force the point at that time. We would play dinner music, cool dinner music, you know.
What's some favorite dinner music? Let's go into that. What do you like to do for dinner? What are you seeing a lot?
Well, let's say you could do some instrumentals, right? I have seen dinner music evolve over for the last 20, 30 years. When I first started doing dinner music, I almost did a lot of Michael Bublé, Sinatra. It was a lot of the classics that. Whereas now we might do some Nora Jones. We might do something from Philadelphia, like the Spinners, you know, Could It Be I'm Falling in Love. Some old school, some new tunes, maybe a Bruno Mars tune. But kind of contemporary, adult contemporary pop tunes. So it's evolved from maybe the standards. Now, we can do a little Sinatra and then a little Norah Jones, and we could break it up and all that. And sometimes if you feel you're too loud, get to the instrumentals, because whenever you have a song where somebody's got to sing, the volume could be a little bit louder just right. by the sound of somebody singing. If you find that in that particular room, it's still too loud, go to an instrumental. Break down the volume because it's dinner time. Now, there are other weddings, people come here, look at, when we come in a room, we want people dancing for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and then after that, we're going to do our first dance. Then after that, dinner, but I don't care if people are sitting down. We just want a party. So you better have your Motown ready. Now, let me tell you about the cool thing about Motown or the old school.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's 60 years old and 70 years old, if you come out doing a real contemporary set, it's going to go right over their head because they say, I can't relate. But if you do some really cool Motown music, some old school, you'll get the older people involved and the young people, they're partying. So now you've got every generation on the dance floor, right? Now, if you break off into doing, you know, some Justin Timberlake, the older people aren't going anywhere. They're there. They're part of the groove. They're having a great time. And you got the whole dance floor with everybody there. There's nothing worse from my perspective, looking down from the stage, looking down at the crowd, and I'm looking at people dancing. But when I look at people sitting, you've got tablefuls of older people just sitting there. I've missed something. If that happens, I've missed something.
Yeah.
You know? And vice versa, if I've got the older folks dancing and the young kids are just hanging at the bar, I'm thinking, I've got to, if I can't get everybody going at the same time, I'm missing something.
Yeah. And it's not an easy thing to do.
It's not.
Yeah, these are things that Dino does instinctively. And again, if you go see Emerald City, especially at a wedding reception, and I'm sure Dino would back me up on this, but you know, he's extraordinarily experienced and talented at reading a room. And he makes sure that the band's energy matches the energy that is required and expected at the party at that moment. And because of the chemistry and continuity the musicians have, we can change direction and energy level as needed to respond to what we're seeing on the dance floor. So, you know, you may start out with dinner set with instrumentals, but you're thinking about, generally speaking, building the energy of the party all the way to a send off at the end. And Dino does that instinctively. And we're doing some old school tunes, and we're doing some newer stuff, Watermelon Sugar, that kind of thing. You know, any song you can think of that you can do at a volume where you're not really necessarily responsible for the dance floor at dinner until you are. And then people start dancing. And now it's like, I want to respond to that. I want those people to enjoy that experience and continue to do that. And then as Dino is an expert at when getting people involved at the very beginning of a set, making a connection with the audience. We never, our bands, we just don't just start playing and just hope that people are going to, well, it's time to start. You know, starts at 8 o'clock, go. It's different. There's the connection between the band and the leader of the band specifically and the audience working together to all party together. It's just a difference between, you know, a group of musicians who may be very talented playing songs and one of our bands creating a party. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think something that we talked about too, I mean, I remember you and I talked around a lot about band versus DJ because I, you know, I'm not going to say what I like best. I actually, it depends on the band because there's been some pretty amazing bands in San Francisco, but I love DJs because I love hearing music the way the artist has put the album out, right? Like, what? I love that. But when a band does that the right way, you're like, oh shit, they got it. That sounds right. Good. So it's like, it's exciting. I wanted you to, when you said like, oh, I could give a set list that would frigging kill it no matter what. A lot of people are like, I don't know what song to choose for my first dance. Mm. What are some of your favorite songs for first dances?
Well, I'm going to start, and I'm going to turn this over to Carl. I'm going to start with just philosophically.
Okay.
I believe that first dance has got to mean something to the bride and groom. I don't care if it's something off the Andy Griffin Show. I don't care. Whatever, if it means something to the couple.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. Now, it's just so happens that there's about 20 or 30 songs that we always get asked to play that I think are indicative to that first dance. But again, I would back up and say, if it's an Andre Bocelli song, mm-hmm. then it's Andre Bocelli, because it means something to the couple. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll have a new one. They'll say, hey, what's the first song should we do? I said, I want you to go, and I want you two to talk about. Maybe they, when they first met, there was a cool tune that they both loved that was on the radio all the time. That might have some feelings and it's like meaning to them on their first dance. Now, Carl, you could touch on the options and how you share that with people that are inquiring, right?
Sure thing. I try to, again, this similar to what Dino's talking about. We want to make sure that we're matching the expectation of the couple. And if the wedding couple has a song that's special to them, we'd love to perform that for them. And we'd love to perform it in such a way that it sounds the way they remember it. So, for instance, you were bringing up, you love when a band plays a song that, you know, sounds like the recording or something like that, that sounds like the way it's recorded. That's really great. That's one of the things that Dino really stresses with all the musicians is first of all, just for example, the tribute band genre is very popular. You can go see a band in a lot of different venues. There's a really good one here in DFW called Texas Flood. It's a Stevie Ray Vaughan tribute act. They're amazing. They're excellent. And they sound just like Stevie Ray Vaughan, the songs you all remember, all of that stuff. So they're like a tribute to that artist, which is a beautiful thing in my mind. The Emerald City bands, really, we try to consider ourselves a tribute band to all different genres and artists. So we want to make sure when we're playing something that's Motown, we're using the same, almost the same notes that they're playing. There's a, you could, if you're listening to My Girl, you got to have that guitar riff. If you got to have the correct drum fill, that's very, you know, that makes sense for that. So in any case, as we're moving forward through special dances, it is really important that we're matching the expectation of the people who are, requesting that special dance. And it could be anything. So one that's real popular is, for instance, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Valley song. So that's a real classic song. People love to hear it. And we're happy to perform that for them. And some people want that kind of style. Another style, maybe something like I Want to Dance with Somebody. At a wedding a few months ago, we performed an event where we introduced the bride and groom, and their first dance was Whitney Houston. Hmm. And so we choreographed a little star with them and said, listen, we're going to get this energy up as you come in. So remember, you can be creative with it as a couple. It doesn't have to be a slow song or a quote unquote sappy song. It can be just one that means something to you and what you want to demonstrate to your family and friends. And so again, it's about matching that expectation. I like people to choose a song that's important to them. And then we want to make sure that we're performing that in such a way that it represents the expectation that they have of how they know it.
Yeah. And I could send you for all the people that are listening, maybe 30 of the most requested first dance songs we get asked for.
That'd be awesome. We could put that on the show notes. That would be awesome. Do you do Spotify playlists or no?
Carl,
we can do that.
You know, yeah. Oh, if you don't worry about it. We can just do that.
No, Carl does.
Oh, he does.
I'm an Apple Music guy, but we can put something together for you. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay. No, I think just having that list available, yeah. We can link to it in the show notes and they can, you know, the listeners can download that. That would be awesome. That would be great.
I'd love to do that. And one other thing I would add to that, some people don't necessarily think about this when they're thinking about their special song that they really want to share that moment with their fiance or their partner that they're with. Mm-hmm. That time is really important. But another thing that is important to consider is we want to make sure that we're paying attention to the fact that we're going to be dancing, the two of us, in front of everyone at the mm-hmm. crowd. Everyone yes. is looking at us. So while the song, 3.5 minutes, doesn't feel that long. It's a pretty long time to be dancing by yourself. So
I always recommend painful
shortened versions. Yeah,
it's painful. Some couples have no problem. They're like natural. They're dancers. They've gotten a choreographed, you know, training. But man, when I see my clients who are like, oh, it's painful. Like they're so uncomfortable right now.
You got to make the song shorter. You know,
you got to make the whole song shorter.
Probably 7 out of 10 first dances we do now are edited down.
They don't go full version.
All you couples out there, yeah, on your first dance, remember it can be edited down. If a song's 3.5 minutes, we can make it two minutes and 30 seconds. And so that you're out there, but you're not hanging out there for too long because it can be painful, like you say. And the other thing is, all the couples out there, make sure whatever band you end up hiring, make sure that they'll learn some of these special dances for you, even if they don't know the song. Every band should be able to learn at least your first dance, father, daughter, mom and son. Because a lot of times you might want something the band doesn't know. And you don't want the band to say, no, we don't know it. No, the band should say, we'll learn it. That's an important part of this.
And some of them won't. Dino, I mean, you know, and some who are individual artists would be like, yeah, I don't take, you know, requests. I've got my own playlist, like give me a couple songs you love. But other than that, don't try to micromanage me, which I don't believe a couple should micromanage anything. You know, that's one of the things that some people, especially those music lovers out there, are like, okay, these are all the songs I want played in this friggin' order. My guests are going to love it. And I'm always like, wait a minute. You're not in a band. You're not a DJ.
Not only that, a band doesn't know 1,000 songs. Not only that, because the guy loves Dave Matthews. And I love Dave Matthews. But you're not going to get your... here's what I say. Is it important for you to have your people dancing and to dance for a pack? Yeah. Well, then you're going to have to let me do my thing. Mm-hmm. I was on the phone with somebody about a month ago, bride, groom, and two parents. And they started, you know, picking songs and suggesting songs and picking songs. And a lot of them, some of them we didn't do. I finally stopped and said, have you guys heard my band? Because like Carl was talking about earlier, we want people to go out and hear it, see it, and go, yes, I like what they do. I like the songs they play, because you're not going to change your band overnight and say, Arthur, we don't want you to do any Bruno Mars, nothing from the 70s, nothing from, you know, the 60s, and do this. They've basically taken away about half of your set list. So you're right. You can't micromanage a band. Go here, make sure you love what they do, and then hire them and let them do their thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that while we want to customize the event to try to, match the expectations of the client, at the same time, what Dino's saying is important. And this is not exactly maybe the best way to phrase this, but I wouldn't go into it. You know, Bill Parcells used to say, let me say it that way, as a football coach. He was a football coach, and he told his general manager, he said, listen, I need to be able to pick the players. If you want me to cook the dinner, I got to buy the groceries. So that was his point. So in a similar kind of way, not exactly the same kind of way, that's how we work. So when I'm working with wedding couples, I tell, what music do you like? What's your vision? You know, give me some genres, Motown, 60s, jazz, country, 80s, 90s, classic dance. Do you like rap and hip hop? Do you know, there's all different kinds we can talk about. And so I say, yeah, let me know what your genre likes are. And then I'll tell you what else I'll tell clients. I'll say, I tell you what, why don't you give me 2 or 3 songs you really don't want? Because I want to be able to play music that you're interested in, while at the same time, I don't want to hit a song that really turns you off.
Right.
For whatever reason, you don't like the song Blurred Lines. No problem. We won't play Blurred Lines.
I love that
but
song.
When I have those genres, and especially when you put it in Dino's hands or our band's hands, it gives our band leaders the freedom to read the room, call the right song at the right time, keep the dance floor packed while avoiding songs people don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Awesome. One thing we didn't touch on is ceremony. And I know, I'm sure you have like your bands, how many people are in most of the bands that you have?
12 to 13.
Okay. 11, so they're big.
11, well, here's the thing. Let me back up a little bit. So one of our bands is a smaller band, and Elevation is that 7 or 8 piece, I think. And then they grow from there. There's 11 piece, 12 piece, 13 piece. So it's in that ballpark, you know, as far as.
Yeah, the bands range in size from 7 to 13 with Emerald City.
Right.
And they operate at different budget points to meet different kinds of clients and consumers. But again, they are all modeled after Emerald City. So we have all that similar DNA. We come from the same place, from the same tree, but they are different sizes.
What I'm getting at is with regard to ceremony, what a lot of couples may not know yet is that if you hire a large band for your dancing portion of things and even dinner, oftentimes the band will send maybe just 3 members out in the beginning to do the music for the ceremony. Do you all do that?
Yeah. So going out. Okay. So there's a couple things. One is we do send folks out into the foyer, into the cocktail area to do cocktail music. But typically for us, at least in our part of the country, the ceremony music usually involves a little bit more of a classical background.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who can read music, it might be a harp, it might be a piano, just piano playing a classical piece of music. And some bands and some musicians have those skills. We have found sometimes they don't. And when they don't, we have to hire other musicians from the outside. Right, Carl?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. There's really 3 main parts to the event in my mind from a music standpoint: ceremony, cocktail, and reception.
Yep.
Not every event has this, obviously, but that's a very typical way of dividing it out. The reception, we've got that part covered, soup to nuts. The cocktail hour, we also, we can provide music, oftentimes a soloist, a duo, or a trio is a really nice touch to add to a cocktail hour. So people can have some instrumental music in the background while they're cocktailing. Also, that's a good time for, as you know, the wedding couple to get a bite to eat, take a breath before they go into the reception and start bouncing around like a pinball between all their friends.
Yes.
The ceremony is a separate piece to that in my mind. That's the way I think of it. And if you're considering ceremony sound, there's some important questions to ask and to think about. Make sure that you have secured production PA speakers, microphones for the
mics.
That's right. For the officiant and possibly a reader or whatever that's going to look like at your ceremony. And then in terms of music, some people prefer recorded music because it's one option if you have a certain ceremony musician. But, you know, and all of that's really important. So when we provide ceremony sound, which and typically in the DFW market, there are some companies that do that on their own. So sort of this is part of a main piece of what they do. When we do it, we secure the PA, speakers, stands, microphones, lapel mics, as Dino mentioned.
Yeah.
We also have a backup microphone in case something goes wrong. We can get the microphone in there if something happens.
Sound tech is probably there monitoring the whole time. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about. Anytime I can have the band's sound tech.
You're right.
Like oftentimes the band will come a little bit later and get set up but for the ceremony, we might have recorded music, but we're using the band's another sound system. And that sound tech got there really early, got everything set up, and they're there monitoring during the ceremony for feedback on the microphone, for breeze, making sure that when I cue for the ceremony to begin, the processional, we're ready. They turn up the music, they fade the music. Like, it's amazing. It's so wonderful.
It's all about flow, right? You want to have a nice flow and this feels like a professional operation, which it is.
It's a production. It's a performance in so many ways.
Yep. And some people just don't necessarily, maybe because they're just not familiar with what the different moving parts are to make a ceremony sound thing happen. That's not a bad thing. It's important to know the different pieces of production, setup, strike, engineering, and music. All of that has to come together. So as wedding couples, when you're investigating that, sometimes a band can provide it. Sometimes it's worth it to rely on someone who provides that in a professional setting. In our case, we can do both. But not everybody does.
Very good. Very good. Okay. I think band sets are typically what, 45 minutes?
So, you know, it's changed. How long a band sets are has changed over time. It used to be the band would play 45 minutes, take a 15-minute break, 45 minute, 15, and they would do that four times. Now, a typical wedding reception is 4 hours, and a band will play longer sets, sometimes just two long sets with a break, sometimes three sets with shorter breaks, 75-minute opening set, 15, 20-minute break, and then another 60 with a short pause and then another 60 or so. The most important part about this is the breaks. Brides and grooms are concerned that we're going to lose the crowd on the break. People are going to be disinterested. We're going to lose the energy. So I always say that the first break is a perfect time to cut the cake. The second break is a perfect time to maybe do family photos. Always have something planned so there's something going on all the time. Garter bouquet. If you choose to do that, that's another option on a break. So you always have something going on and you don't have any dead time. That's important on the breaks.
Very good. Well, Instagram is hopping with you guys at Emerald City Band, by the way. I was just looking at it, and ecbands.com is the website. And I'm really, really glad we finally got around to doing this, guys. It's been a while.
You did a great job. Thank you for having us. Seriously.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. And I appreciate you sending that playlist, or sorry, the first dance song recommendations. We will link to that on the show notes. We will link to your website and Instagram and all that fun stuff. And I appreciate you, dropping some really important knowledge today.
I will add one thing to all your listeners out there.
Yes.
I'm residing here in Dallas, but for all the folks out there, if you want, my email address is Dino, D-E-N-O, at emeraldcityband.com. I'll be happy to answer any questions, guide you, suggest to you what to do. I love doing this. I'm not going to sell you anything. I just want to help. If you need help, pertaining to live music, I'm here for you.
I love it. Yeah, that'd be great. Yes, because that's part of this podcast is like couples out there who really like, okay, this is a real wedding planning question I've got going on right now. And it's specifically about a band. Let me hit up Dino. So thank you for that.
I'm the expert. I can help you. And I love doing it. And I love playing. I've been playing weddings since I was a kid, 13, 14 years old. So I'm a wedding band. I'm a wedding guy.
Are you a wedding singer?
Yeah.
From the 80s, do you know?
Yeah, I kind of am when I need to be.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you again. It's such a pleasure having you.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. It's our pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can get more wedding planning tips from the Big Wedding Planning Podcast YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join me and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? You can email me at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or my personal favorite, call and leave a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you. Love the show. Bye.